darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Can't we make people like us? All we have to do is to give people what they want, and that should make them like us. But they don't. Why is that, Mommy and Daddy? Hey, Big Brother, why don't you just give them a little more? I'm sure this time everyone will love us. And if that's not enough, we should be proud to give more, so maybe they will like us. Just like the Greeks who have announced, we shouldn't have to pay back our debts. We're poor. Maybe I'll use that excuse. I'm Lair Adams, and this is the American Adversary Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. There's no excuse for a host. He's right here, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thanks so much, Lair Adams. And you better not try that on the IRS because it won't go very far. You might go somewhere that you may not want to go. All right. Welcome to the show. I hope you're where you want to be right now, though, because you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer, coming to you once again live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio. And don't forget, for the best in mercury-free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. Okay, folks, yeah, we got a big show lined up for you again tonight. And, of course, you can call in and be a part of it at 407-774-8255. That's the number. Nostra Dennis will be joining us shortly. Aubrey Kahn, of course, one of our sponsors and co-host from Fern Foundation Home Inspection. He's going to be here shortly. But we also have in the studio today an old and dear friend of ours, Daria Monroe.
She's not old.
Let me just say that. Okay. A long time dear ours, Daria Monroe. And, of course, we know her from True Life Choice, but she's now gone to a new organization that we're going to be talking about called Embraced by Grace. Daria, thanks for being in today.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being here. And we'll be talking to her throughout the show. And if you have questions for her or anything like that, you can certainly call the show. But embracedbygrace.org is the website. And we're going to be talking about that. It's an adoption agency. And this is a great thing that she's involved in.
And it's a lot better than being embraced by Joe Biden.
Yeah, better believe that. All right. But real quick, I'd like to tell you that tomorrow night at the Eastmont Civic Center, 7:30, be there. That's the Seminole County Republican Executive Committee meeting, and our very own Carl Jackson is going to be speaking there. That's tomorrow night. It's free. Eastmont Civic Center, of course, is right off Ronald Reagan Boulevard there, just south of 436. And 7:30 is the event. He'll be speaking at some time after that, but you'll get a chance to meet Carl, of course, hear him speak. He's going to be talking about what he's talked about on the show briefly the last couple of weeks, the 7 rules of social change, gleaned from the book God is the Issue by Brad Bright. Carl, of course, be telling you about his experiences with the Bright. So that's tomorrow night, 7:30, Eastmont Civic Center. Carl Jackson, be there. Okay, I want to talk about the president's speech that he just now wrapped up about 5 minutes before the show started. I was sitting in my car listening to it, and at times he sounded like W. He did. He sounded like George W. Bush. But finally, Barack Obama came out and actually sort of explained himself. And it kind of makes a lot of his behavior recently make more sense. Let's just say, in broad terms, he has drank his own Kool-Aid. Okay? But it kind of explains things. And take me the whole show to go through the whole thing, but I'm going to go through a little bit of it. First of all, it kind of, I think, dovetails, well, and no kind of, it does, with our friend Marie Barf Harf. Barf, because Harf rhymes with barf. Her remarks yesterday that we played you the clip where she basically lamented, you know, we'll never be able to fight our way out of this war. We're going to
can't kill your way.
Yeah, we're going to have to come up with some sort of jobs program is basically it in a nutshell. I'm oversimplifying, Marie. I know it's more nuanced than that, but that is in essence the message that you were sending. And the president came out today with a much more, shall we say, nuanced explanation. And to make a long story short, he said some things that are pretty obviously true. And that is that in societies where you have a lot of oppression and corruption, you have ripe, fertile grounds for people to be recruited into revolutionary causes. And that's what we do see going on around the world. And then he listed some things that basically said these are what we're going to have to do along with the military solution to deal with these organizations who he constantly said are twisting the ideology. This is not true Islam. I will argue that on another moment. But to get back to my point, he listed a number of things. Basically he said, for one thing, we need more democracy, not less. And we need to protect, and there needs to be respect for universal precepts and values that we hold. In other words, these must be respected by the likes of these other democratic societies. He's calling for more democracies. He sounds like W in that sense. And then he says, of course, and this mirrors what Marie Harf was saying, and that is, you know, you need stable governments and well-run governments and blah, 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 blah. That's all, folks. Well, let me just say this. Mr. President, in case you didn't notice, everything you listed, we had in a country that we used to call Iraq. We shed over 4,000 American precious lives over there and countless tens of other thousands in wounded and maimed soldiers, men and women, to achieve each and everything you listed there, sir. And what did you do to protect it? You turned and walked away from it. Everything that you say today, we need to rebuild, we had built. We had there. And we shed our blood, and yes, sir, that of coalition troops, international coalition, in order to achieve. And because you turned and walked away from it, we now have the Islamic State known as ISIL or ISIS or whatever you want to call them. You, sir, have produced that which you now claim to have the solution of when we had already solved the problem. And then you want to turn around and make us have all these warm feelings. You're right. There, no one should be targeted for any reason, I would say, much less what they believe or look like or anything like that. No one should be targeted, period. That's the Christian ethic, in case you hadn't noticed. You cannot turn the tide back, sir. You have already started us down a treacherous path that your pat little solutions aren't going to work. We have already gone too far. How are you going to put Humpty Dumpty back together? You had everything you listed in Iraq. You let it go. How are you going to put it back together? Oh, yeah, that's right. You told us today. It's going to be a generational problem now. Well, thank you very much. You created a problem that we had already solved in a country, and now you're telling us that it's going to take generations to solve it again. Thank you very much. Yeah. This does explain a lot. and his reluctance to use American troops and even provide American arms, because lo and behold, we don't want to buy into the premise of ISIS, and that is that the Western civilization is at war with Iraq, or excuse me, with Islam in Iraq. Well, the truth of the matter is that we are, and you said you wanted frank discussion on this, Mr. President. We are in a cultural clash, sir, that is being fought out on the battlefield. And I will compliment you on this. You did call for Muslims around the world and Muslim leaders, even those in your room there, to do more, to step up and say more. And in that, you are absolutely correct. Only you need to say it a whole lot more. This shouldn't have been the first time you come out and say this. This is way late in the game. And way nigh after you've done ruin one of the greatest achievements, well, at least in the early part of this century. We took a country of some 50 to 70 million people and freed them from tyranny and put them on the way to a stable democracy. Yes, that's right. More democracy, not less. Just what you called for today. We had established in Iraq. And because you were pissed off, because you didn't like the war to begin with, you turned your back on it because it was George W. Bush's war. Well, now it's your problem of your creation, sir. And you're probably right. It's probably going to take a whole lot longer to solve it this time, because you're going to continue to let it fester until it gets a whole lot worse, like Colonel McKnight said yesterday. The more you let it fester, the harder it's going to be to solve, the harder it's going to be to cure. Think of it as an infection in your body. Is it easier to cure the infection on the first couple of days or until you wait a week or two? It's like I stepped on a nail one time, and I knew right away I should just drop what I was doing and go get a tetanus shot, but I put it off. Well, the next day I went, and the doctor said, "You got a nasty infection. You're going to be in a lot of pain for a while there, son, because you didn't come yesterday and get that tetanus shot." Well, we missed the tetanus shot, and now there's going to be a whole lot of pain. Thanks to this genius who came out today and enlightened us all as to his grand plan, which we had already achieved in Iraq. But I guess because it was done with American blood, it was not worthy of cherishing and holding on to as tight as we could. Well, I certainly hope you'll hold on, and when we come back, we got a lot more to do. Here comes Johnny B.
Oh, hello, Florida. This is Mark Merrill. You may know me in wrestling as the star Johnny B. Bad. I listen to the American Adversaries, and you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tuna booty.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got us. Oh, hush, I just love that. That's, of course, our dear friend Mark Merrow. 407-774-8255 is the number. Aubrey Kahn has joined us in the studio. Of course, Aubrey, Affirm Foundation Home Inspections. Aubrey, how be ye today, si?
I am blessed.
Hold on, we got to get that microphone on. We'll try it again.
I am blessed.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to wrap this up with just a couple more comments, and then I'll hush, and we'll get on with Daria Monroe. Once again, you can call in if you want to talk about this, or, of course, with our conversation with Daria, 407-774-8255. He also talked about, he sort of wrapped up his speech today with this little story, and I presume it's true. I mean, this happens all the time. He got a Valentine on Valentine's Day from an 11-year-old Muslim girl who basically said, you know, I just want to grow up and live in a peaceful society, but I'm afraid people are going to hate me because I'm Muslim. And he also referenced earlier in his speech how Muslims are afraid now in America because three Muslims were killed in a heinous crime, murdered in cold blood, yes, in North Carolina.
Which may have nothing to do with the fact that they were Muslim.
No, but just let's put this in perspective for a moment, Mr. President. Excuse me. Three Muslims were killed in North Carolina, and Muslims all across America are afraid. Okay, that's a logical reaction. Now I have a question for you, Mr. President. How in the hell do you think Christians feel? How do you think Christians feel, sir, when we see Christians being killed because they are Christians having their heads cut off? when they're set on fire or killed in any other fashion. And by the way, in this country, remember the woman who was killed in Oklahoma City by having her head lopped off by a Muslim who was mad because she was a Christian?
What about the Boston Marathon?
The Boston Marathon, which the president himself referenced. But he never referenced the fact that Christians are afraid. But I think that today's speech is a little something more than just a reaction to the reaction that, Marie Barf Harf got yesterday with her barfable quotes. And that is that there is a palpable, I don't want to use the word intolerance, but let's just say outrage over what is going on around the world by Muslims to Christians. That's why the president went so far out of his way today to once again say, well, you know, whatever they're doing, every religion has done this, and they still do, as though, you know, the sense of perspective is anywhere near the same. And there you got these little 11-year-old girls. Well, I'd like to ask the president this. Did you ever get any Valentines from 11-year-old girls in Iraq? How about Afghanistan? How about Syria? How about Libya? I bet you didn't. I bet you didn't. Because those 11-year-old girls are living with no hope thanks to your feckless policies, Mr. President. Now you would have us believe you are going to put Humpty Dumpty back together. I don't think so. Aubrey, you heard what I was saying.
Yeah, well, I listened to the speech while I was driving up here from Kissimmee.
The president's speech.
Yes, yes. And I get kind of excited when he talks.
It's that whistle.
I kind of shout, "You lie!" and stuff like that. But, you know, a very interesting thing. All the stuff he was saying we need to do. There is another country which has done all that. And it's in the Middle East.
It's called
Israel.
Israel.
And he turns his back on the leaders of Israel.
Yeah.
Because it's more expedient to kiss the butts of your Muslim buddies.
Yeah, well, that's where it stands with this president, but at least he spelled it out a little bit better today. And as I said, he's bought his own Kool-Aid. It's very convenient. He's created his own mess, and now he proposes to clean it up. What a guy.
Between him and his young lady, Ms. Harf, who are both Ivy League educated.
educated.
All right. And everyone's pointing fingers at a Republican who doesn't have a college degree but has cleaned up his state, and they're all saying he's not presidential material because he doesn't have a college degree.
Yeah,
but when you combine the IQ of these two individuals, they are still dumber than a box of rocks. They really are. You know, she's got an IQ in the minus 30s.
Any kind of common sense or world knowledge or, you know, experience.
Well, it's like I said, they've drank their own Kool-Aid.
Unbelievable.
And they actually believe it, you know. And he's just totally dismissive of the fact that everything he said today we achieved in Iraq, and he was against it the whole time. The whole time. Even so much that he hated the policy that he turned his back on it. He chose not to do anything over there and turned and walked away. And now we have the Islamic State.
Well, you know, there's another thing that he has achieved, which I don't think any other president in the United States has achieved.
What's that?
Everything he has done has been a failure.
But he has so conveniently been able to blame it on someone else.
What about George Bush, health care, right? Huh?
But, you know, I think something has changed, though, in the air, if you will. And I do think that, shall we say, pressure is building upon the, if you are out there, moderate Muslims to step up and do something about this. Because these atrocities will have to be addressed.
Yeah, but the moderate Muslims are also afraid for their lives
because their
brethren will kill them because they're moderates.
Well, that's That's part. One thing I'll say the president did recognize today, and he did say in his speech, and that is that these terrorists do, how did he say it? They do draw selectively from their religious texts. So what he admitted there was, is that what these guys are going around preaching that they got out of the Quran, they got it out of the Quran.
No, but he didn't mention the
But it's
religion.
A religion of peace.
Yeah, but he's having to admit things that I don't believe he would have admitted even a week ago.
But he's not calling them Muslims.
No, but he's making it. That's a huge admission to say that what ISIS is, ISIL, the Islamic State, that what they are saying can be found in the texts. That's a huge admission. Subtle as it was, it is a big admission on this president's part.
I'll give him that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get Daria some time while we still have it. Daria, once again, thanks for being here. You happened to show up on a day when the president spoke right before the show. I apologize for him. But real quickly, how you been doing? And tell us a little bit real quickly about Embraced by Grace. How did you go from True Life Choice to Embraced by Grace?
Well, it was really a natural move. Embraced by Grace is an adoption and home study agency. And having been all my life pro-life and fighting for the ending of abortion, the answer to abortion, human trafficking, all these hideous things that go on around us and around the world is adoption, placing children in godly homes. And the need is great here in Orlando, in Florida, the states, and the nations.
And so you, True Life Choice, of course, was where you encouraged women to come and get a sonogram before having an abortion, and a tremendous success rate, well over 95%, I think you said, 98%.
Yes.
And in other words, these girls and women, when they would see the fetus, the baby inside their wombs, they would decide to have the child rather than dispose of it.
Exactly.
But then that creates another issue, because not all of these women are ready for motherhood or want it.
Yes,
that's
true.
And that's where adoption comes in.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people just kind of, you know, brush it off. But it's a viable option, and it needs to be out there, I think, a little bit more. So we'll help Daria get the word out when we come back about Embraced by Grace. You can go to embracedbygrace.org. When we come back, we've got a lot more to talk about. We're just getting going.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, once again for SoundbiteRx.com. With just a sample of the medicine, you'll find brand new there today, like this. ISIS, you know, the Islamic State. Guess what, folks? They are sprouting limbs beyond its base. Of course, now that we know they're in Libya, but they're sprouting roots everywhere. You'll see that at soundbiterx.com. Also this, turmoil because Hillary hasn't yet declared. That's right. There's a lot of people out there sitting on the fence because they're waiting for Queen Hillary to say what she's going to do. But the longer she waits, the more complicated it gets. Also this, Chris Matthews describes America is, excuse me, he says America is being morally embarrassed by the Islamic State. I believe that it's things like that that's finally brought the president to the podium to try to explain himself as he did today. So don't be caught without the information, folks. Inoculate yourself against ignorance. Go to soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. We're reaching for the Lilliputians and the hearts in the air in here, you know. Mr. Obama's going to bring love to the world after he's destroyed it, of course, first. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660. The answer, it is drive time. 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, folks, don't let your child or your grandchild to be educated to be ignorant. Send them to a great school. If you can afford it, get them into a private school. And what better way to afford it when you can take advantage of half-price tuition. And there's new schools all the time being added to the list. So all you got to do is go to AmazingRadioDeals.com. That's AmazingRadioDeals.com. And you'll be able to go to places like Apopka Christian Academy in Apopka, of course, Foundation Academy in Windermere, Ann Winter Garden, Orlando Christian Prep in Orlando, King of Kings Lutheran in Maitland, all at half price. And there's a whole lot more. So go to AmazingRadioDeals.com, check out the schools, check out the deals. And or you can call Bill Files at 407-618-1760. That's half-price tuition, 407-618-1760. Daria Monroe is now with Embraced by Grace. It's an international adoption agency. And let's just take the president for a moment and run with his position here. What we want to do is we want to get the young generations in good, solid homes and places with good government. I can think of no better place than in a Christian home in the United States of America. Can you, Daria?
I sure cannot. That's a wonderful place for a child to be. And in fact, we're domestic and international.
Yep.
And we only place children in godly homes, in Christian homes.
And once again, embracedbygrace.org is the name of the website. And of course, you look for both ends. I mean, you're looking for women who are, you know, going through this dilemma,
yes,
and you want to provide them with the choice of adoption, and then, of course, you hook the child up with parents.
Absolutely. We have our birth mom liaison is wonderful. She stays with the birth mom all the way through and doesn't even give up. She still is in touch with the very first birth mom that ever placed her baby for adoption through the agency,
so that she can help her if there are any lingering feelings.
Exactly.
Right. And is there any sort of age limit on the birth mother?
Depending on the birth mother, no, not at all. I mean, anybody that is pregnant and wants to have an adoption plan,
so
they're welcome to come.
So if this is an instance of rape or incest where, say, a child of 14 or 15, you could place that child.
Absolutely.
Or if it's a woman who's a professional woman and she's in her 30s or 40s, you could place that child.
Yes.
All right. So Embraced by Grace. And this really is, you know, the president, you know, he did make a point that, you know, you grow up in a desperate situation, you're going to look at the world in a much different fashion. So if this is going to be a generational effort, why not reach out and get the generations and let's put them in good homes in our country? But as you say, you also deal with children abroad. Now, how does that work, real quickly? Do you liaison with foreign governments or foreign adoption agencies, or how does that exactly? Because you're talking about bringing children over there back here, I presume.
Yes. First of all, we are Hague accredited, and you may be familiar with the Hague Convention. So a lot of the adoption agencies that to work in different countries, some of them require that you're accredited through Hague. And at Embraced by Grace, we've done everything to be above reproach in any way. Even for those countries that are not Hague accredited, we still, you know, make ourselves available. Right now, what we do is we work very closely with Colombia. And in fact, we have a hosting program coming up in July where we bring the equivalent of DCF in Colombia. They go into the institutions. One thing about Colombia is they don't like to say that their children are in orphanages.
Right.
So they call them institutions. So the DCF
much
will,
more sterile that way, right?
Their equivalent of DCF,
right,
will go in and take the children that are adoptable, and we get to find host homes here. In July, we find homes that will take them for 3 weeks, in December for 2 weeks. Our prayer is that the families that open their homes, of course, they've got a mini home study so that they've been checked out through the government and locally and federally to make sure they are safe homes and that they are godly homes. But our prayer is that these families will fall in love with the children and
sure,
adopt them.
Right. And if someone would like to get involved in that, of course, they can go to embracedbygrace.org.
They can, or they can even give us a call at 407-628-9051.
And that's located, you guys are located right here in Maitland, 407-628-9051. We've got a caller on the line, so I'd like to go to John Lear, one of our soldiers. John, thank you for calling. How are you doing this afternoon?
I want to tell you that if you want to do something that you're not doing now and prevent anybody with a conscience, instead of having an abortion, present them with a little circular describing what happened when somebody thoughtful enough adopted Steve Jobs.
You're right.
Steve Jobs,
that's right,
is the most brilliant of all. Now, I've researched 100 people since 1935 that are successful businesses, and I'll tell you what, there isn't one who is, in my opinion, a greater businessman all around than Steve Jobs, and he's adopted.
Yep.
He went through a heck of a thing, but that's beside the point. That's what they all go through.
Yep.
But he had loving parents that really did him a job. And if you get a good, you don't have to, you should get a professional to do it, because if you get somebody you know, he built the biggest business in the world. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Apple is right now the largest market cap company in the world, the most valuable. And, of course, now they're talking about building a car. But you're absolutely right, John. Thank you for the call. And he's right. Steve Jobs, look at how many people out there have iPhones? I know I got one.
Well, and people, too, like Dave Thomas, who owned Wendy's, and he was raised in an orphanage and did wonderful things for orphans after... for the rest of his life.
And John is right. You know, adoption is a viable option and has great benefits, not just to, you know, the rest of us, but, of course, obviously to the person who's adopted. Do you adopt just infants, or how old of a child would be the oldest, let's say?
Well, we don't just adopt or place infants. We do place infants and children. But sadly, the age of 16, the government considers them aged out. So what we try to do, just as the whole goal is James 1:27, and that is the religion that is pure and undefiled before the Father, is for those who reach out to orphans and widows. And that's part of what our hearts are, to reach out to those orphans. So all of that said, we're trying to get those children before they age out, whether it's in the States or in Colombia or anywhere else. When they age out, the statistics are astronomical. I think it's 85% of the girls end up in human trafficking.
Right, yeah.
And very close to that with the boys, either in terrorist groups or...
That's right.
Gangs, you name it.
That's why I say, you know, adoption, you know, if we want to take the president's approach and make this a generational effort, and of course, all of this has to come into play. I'm not saying we can't do what he's proposing, but except that we already did it, but that we can be a part of the solution, and that is to take these children who are otherwise would be unwanted. Okay, I want to take another caller from Michael, and then want to go to Nostra Dennis, because I'm sure he has some thoughts on this as well. Michael, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we talk about adoption, and we're focusing on the children, and that's where the main focus should be. But there is a side benefit to this, and that's your building family. And that's a main problem we have in this country, is the demise of the family. And when you adopt, you build a family.
You know, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you pointed out that out. That's an excellent observation on both parts, on the part that our families are in demise and on the part that that's an effort to rebuild. And so you're absolutely right, Michael.
I thank the lady for her efforts in this, because that's where it's at.
Well, you know, she's worked a long time to prevent babies from being aborted and then have to see the other side of the coin, too. And so bless her heart, she's going to do something about that too. I mean, what more can you ask from a woman? But, you know, adoption is a great alternative. And it does have many benefits, like both you and John now have both pointed out. So thank you, Michael. We appreciate you being out there. I want to bring Nostradamus in on this now. Nostradamus, so you've heard the conversation.
I sure have, and Daria, really thank you, and God bless you for the work you're doing. I have a couple of hard-boiled questions, though, for you. It seems kind of a no-brainer and kind of easy to quantify what is a safe home, but how do you guys throw up the criteria for what is a loving and Christian home? What do you look at?
Well, first of all, we do go through an FBI background check for them and a local criminal check, and then we, as well as that, we want to know who they are. They're interviewed. There's a home study that goes on, and in the home study, every individual is interviewed, and we have an awesome team, to be honest. Our social worker is just very gifted. She's very knowledgeable. She knows what to ask, and we get references to know that they're active in their church, and a pastor will refer them as well. So we're very, very diligent in making sure. I can also tell you this, Nostradamus, the beautiful part of Embraced by Grace, when we say this, not any credit to ourselves, but just all glory to God, in the years that they have been placing children, there has not been one disrupted adoption, because we do train the parents to let them know, no matter what, you know, what they may face, and we're there with them throughout. If they face any type of difficulties, we have counseling that's available to them, but we don't leave them. We don't place a child or a baby, and then there's nowhere for them to go.
Let me interject here real quick, Nostradamus, and I'll get back to you. How long has Embraced by Grace been around, and who started it?
Okay, I love to talk about that. Gwen and Bob Pisern are the founders of Embraced by Grace. They started this in 2006, and it was really birthed out of their hearts and their love for the Lord and their love for children. They have two biological children, and they started adopting their own and saw a real need in making this more fluid and easy for people who really have a heart for adoption to be able to do that. And with that, they started their own agency, and they have now adopted 14 children.
Is that right?
That's right.
Sounds like the Williams family, you know, Pat Williams.
Sure.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Absolutely.
Have you adopted?
I have adopted.
And what has your experience been?
Oh, my goodness. I really go overboard with how adoption is.
Would you do it over again?
I would do it 100 times over. My son was up for late-term abortion. His birth mom was 5.5 months pregnant. And for me, we can talk all we want, but until we put action to our words, they are meaningless. And I reached out to the birth mom and just said, you know, could I have the honor of raising your child? And took him on, and it wasn't easy.
How old is he now?
He is 18 years old, and he is a handsome, awesome young man of God.
And the last couple of years, you've had to go it alone with him. I mean, a single mom.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Nostradamus, I'll go back to you.
Yeah. Daria, let me give you this scenario. What would Embraced by Grace do in this situation? A married couple comes to you, successful. There's no financial worries. It's a safe home. They're a couple that goes to their church each week, and they really want to adopt a child, and they tell you they are Christians, and they're both the same sex. What do you do?
Well, we can refer them to somebody who could help them better than we can. We have a very firm stand, and we do not place in same-sex.
That would sort of be a disqualifier.
What about single?
Do
you ever adopt out to people that don't have a partner?
We do, and that's a very touchy thing. And what we've taken, I think each organization, because Embraced by Grace, more than a business, though it's a business, it's a ministry. And everything we do, we bathe in prayer. We would consider I'm sitting here with a room full of men. But we would consider, if they meet all the qualifications, a single woman, but we steer clear of placing with a single man.
Yep. Okay. Let me go now to Rick. Rick, thank you for calling. You got 1 minute.
You know, I want to see what your opinion is on this. I'm not Orthodox Jew or anything. You know, it's not for religious reasons, but I happen to be anti-abortion but pro-choice. So I think what you're doing by getting the government out of it, you know, libertarians would probably agree with me on that, is a very good thing, you know, one by one, telling the women what to do. And it's getting the government out of the way, not forcing them to have the, you know, ultrasound.
So
I want to know what you think of that. I wonder if Chris agrees with me because he calls himself a libertarian.
Well, I call myself a conservatarian, to be technical about it, part conservative, part libertarian. Let me see if I understand what you're saying. You're saying that you agree adoption is a great thing because it achieves what we all want to achieve, and that is, as you said, you're pro-life. So you
no, I'm pro-choice.
But you said I thought you said you were for life.
Yeah,
no, he's anti-abortion, pro-choice.
There are a lot of us out there like that. We don't think the government should get involved. It should be an individual decision, but we don't like the idea of abortion. There's a lot of us like
that. All right. So in essence, we're in agreement that adoption's a great alternative.
Yes,
is that it in a nutshell? Well, then I would agree with you that. Yeah, that adoption, it does serve two purposes, yes. It does get government out of the equation. You're absolutely right, which goes to Michael's point, which it helps enhance the family unit, and it saves the life of the child. It's a winner on both sides of the coin. Daria, do you see it the same way?
Absolutely. Do I have a minute to say something, though?
Well, I tell you what, let's take the break, and then you can do that when we come back. Is that all right? All right.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back and get Nostradamus' take on it, too. And then Nostradamus has a story that perhaps the president didn't see before his speech today. Who knows? We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Where we got, let's see, me, Aubrey, the good, the bad, and then there's Lair.
smart.
No, actually, Lair is the one that's got the face for TV. We all the rest of us, except for Daria now. The rest of us have a face for radio. All right, Daria Monroe is here with Embraced for Grace, and I'll let her make her comments. And Nostradamus is on the line. Carl just texted me a response, though, to Rick, who he said, Carl says, somebody should tell Rick how much government funds abortion. He was right about that, Rick. So hopefully you would agree with us that if government would just simply stop funding abortion, that'd be a big positive step, too. But you wanted to make some comments, Daria.
Well, I just wanted to, I guess because it is extremely part of my DNA to make sure that people are aware. First of all, the whole ultrasound thing, people think that is big government. We fought for the ultrasound bill here in Florida, and that is because we have had so many women, and I mean hundreds of Floridian women, come to us and say, if I had seen my ultrasound, I never would have had the abortion. And we know the negative impact abortion has on the woman, the man, the family, and society as a whole.
Yeah, I believe you told me one time that if a couple goes through an abortion within about a year, they've broken up.
Yes, over 90% will have broken up. So it doesn't save the relationship; it
destroys,
it kills the baby, and destroys the relationship, and often the women and the men both.
Yeah, women suffer both physically and mentally, and the men suffer mentally.
Right.
Nostradamus, you had a government-type question for Daria.
Yeah, speaking about government interference, Daria, as you laid out your company's position on adopting out to same-sex couples, have you gotten any grief, any blowback from government, either federal, state, or local, about your own stance?
Not at this point, and if you all would keep us in prayer, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, I mean, they'll sue bakers who won't make a cake for a wedding. I'm surprised no one's decided.
Well, technically speaking, of course, Dennis, the government didn't sue. It was private individuals who sued,
sure.
And this is a private organization. It's a private adoption agency, and you do not...
A faith-based private organization.
And you, right. Is it safe to assume you don't take funding from the government?
No, we do not. And another.
Do you take donations?
We do. We welcome donations because we're a 501c3
nonprofit. Yep.
And for us, we keep adoption rates so low to allow those Christian couples that qualify to bring these children or babies into their homes. But we need help. We need the body of Christ. It's our responsibility to rise up and do something about the orphans.
So first and foremost, folks, we can all pray for the efforts of Embraced by Grace, that they succeed and grow. And then if we can afford it, hopefully contribute to them and look to them as an alternative if that situation presents itself in our lives in one way or another,
right,
whichever end it happens to be, so to speak.
Yes, and another thing, too, we love for people to get in touch with us and just see what we're all about, whether that's on the website or contact us. But one thing I can truly say, if somebody does call us and their lifestyle doesn't fit with ours, we feel it's an opportunity to share Jesus Christ. We're not going to be hateful or ugly. We're going to try to share that hope which we have and the reason for that hope. We can't bend our beliefs to cater to other people. We know that the Lord has called us to do as we're doing.
Yeah. And besides, you couldn't place a child in a Muslim family anyway, because Muslims don't adopt children. All right. So 407-628-9051 is the phone number for Embraced by Grace. They're located in Maitland. 407-628-9051. EmbracedByGrace.org is the website. Nostra Dennis, real quickly, we got about a minute. What's that story that occurred here in Florida that evidently the president didn't hear about? Otherwise, he might have said something about Christians living in fear. Do we still
waiting for that?
What's that?
This happened.
Okay.
Don't hold your breath waiting for the president to comment on this story.
All right.
Happened at about 3 a.m. on Monday out of Melbourne at the New Shiloh Christian Church, where there was a combined fire and spray painting vandalism. Vandals spray painted the words Allahu Akbar and a swastika on the side of the church. They are not calling it a hate crime just yet, and I got to tell you, I think I agree with them, because if these people were actually Nazis, they would have known not to put the swastika up backwards. I think they're just a bunch of chuckle-headed kids who are out to destroy property.
Hey, it could have been something really bad, like Hello Kitty.
I don't know. You know, the swastika maybe, but that other slogan... You know,
yeah,
that's troubling. Very troubling.
There's no hate crimes going on in this country on our college campuses with Jews being called names and so on, is there?
No, it's some sort of domestic disturbance.
They're calling it arson and criminal mischief.
Show's over, folks.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.